I am in them and you are in me, that they may become completely one. Amen. The gospel for today can feel rather complex. That's John, a lot of words. John's writing is always rather elusive. So let me break it down for you. Are you ready? So here goes. Love, 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 some more love, and then love, 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 love. That's it. That's it, folks. Love. I've said this to you before, and I will keep saying it as long as I need to, from here and from everywhere, until we, including me, we really get it. Our call is simple. We are called to love in this world so completely that all we encounter, experience the love of God. The love of God is known through our Savior Jesus Christ and through the prophets of God, through the manifestation of justice, that all may be free, liberated from oppression. That is love, not romantic love. That is not the love we hear about in the Gospels. That is the love we hear about in movies and books and Hallmark cards, if those still exist. That is the love of the world, and it is lovely, but that is not the love that Jesus died for. Love, the love that makes us completely one, the love that leads us to know and to act as if we are all one, that is the love that Jesus died for. That is the love that Jesus lived for. And the greatest threat to this gospel call to love is not poverty or racism or guns. These are merely symptoms of our lack of love. The greatest threat to gospel love is our human illusion of separation. The denial that we are all one. That is the greatest threat to gospel love. To the love of God manifest in this world through actions of justice. 2 weeks ago, 15 black-bodied people were massacred in Buffalo. That following Sunday, I, your priest, came to church and I led this service with no mention of that massacre. As I said in my pastoral letter this week, I have taken to the pulpit to preach following so many massacres in this country that, frankly, I had nothing left to say. I had become numb. Massacres by men with guns had become as normal to me as tornadoes ripping through the flatlands. And frankly, they had become as distant to me, a mountain girl, who has never experienced a tornado in my life, because I am protected from that kind of natural disaster on many levels. And in my numbness, I was in denial of our oneness, just another natural disaster that happened far from home. The illusion of separation protected me from any feelings about that massacre 2 weeks ago. But then I got an email from a person that I admire and respect, who is very close to home, super close right now in this moment, just saying, right here in the midst of this church, my home, our home. And in the email, he told me he was disappointed, sad, in the lack of mention about this massacre, this tragedy, the deaths of 15 black-bodied people in an apparent hate crime massacre. At first, my cognitive dissonance kicked in and I rationalized my actions, my illusion of separation. I told myself, that's why we have a rubric for the prayers of the people. It can hold our oneness. It can speak to all things. And while that is true and the purpose of the prayers of the people is that, it is also true that I was numb, checked out, shut down. It is true that for me, that killing was so far from home that my illusion of separation kept me from feeling anything. I refused to be disrupted by yet another massacre in this country. I refused to acknowledge my oneness with the community of Buffalo or with black and brown-bodied people for whom that killing hit close to home, no matter where they lived. I chose silence because I chose the illusion of separation. I am in you and you are in me so that they may become completely one. And then, well, it hit home. This week, another massacre in this country, this time over 19 children, two adults, killed by another man with a gun. I was informed of the shooting while driving in the car with my daughter and her friend on the way to a high school softball game. The children told me about it as the news popped up on their cell phones. We listened to the emerging report as we drove in silence. I dropped my daughter off in a crowd of parents and children gathered together to enjoy a sunny afternoon of school youth sports. I watched my daughter disappear into the sea of young people. And as I drove away, I thought about all the parents that dropped their children off at school that morning. Who would never, ever watch them walk back towards them again. I thought of the empty beds that evening. Sheets, wrinkled stuffed animals gently placed on pillows that will never be cuddled by those little hands again. I thought about the books that will never be read again at bedtime. And I thought about all the homes that will never, ever feel like home again to the people that still live in them. I thought about the community that was once known as the honey capital of the world and how that sweetness is gone. Now this massacre will be what they are known for, the bitterness of loss and grief and despair replacing the sweetness of honey. And I cried. I just sobbed in my car as I drove away alone and exhausted from so many massacres. But finally, I was feeling again. Why was I able to feel this massacre and not the Buffalo massacre 2 weeks ago? Because this one hit close to home. Because this massacre broke through my illusion of separation. Because as a mother, I love my kid more than anything on earth, and I have no ability to deny my grief over another parent's pain at the loss of their child. Love, the actions that emerge from our acceptance of our oneness. The fact that I have the illusion of separation when it comes to black communities being gunned down and murdered is a product of my racism. The illusion of separation that has been strategically designed and implemented from the beginning of this country, the illusion of separation is the greatest tool of empire. Let me be very clear. Black and brown-bodied people have experienced massacre from day one of this country, day one. That is how white people came to rule this empire and the many, many other empires we have ruled throughout history. War on black and brown bodies, that is just the truth, and there is no way around that truth. We have killed black and brown bodied people with guns and bombs and disease from day one of landing on the shore. For the black and brown bodied people of this country, massacres are expected, unsurprising, and so deeply a part of generational reality that it has sadly, profoundly become normalized. And while clearly we in this country do not have and have not ever valued the lives of black and brown bodied humans, I for one still held the belief that somehow we as a nation valued the lives of children. But how can we value the lives of children if we do not value the lives of Black and brown bodied humans, because they are children too? So more clearly, more honestly, I thought we valued the lives and would protect the lives of white children. That is true. I was living in a serious state of denial. At least I believed we valued innocent white children, so that all may be completely one. But the truth is, we don't. We as empire value power. And any sense of oneness between humans threatens the empire's attempt to hoard power and resources. Love, the kind of love Jesus spoke of, can only be manifested if we shift our goal from the love of power to the love of justice. So we all have a choice now about how we respond. Each of us has the choice to remain in our illusion of separation, or to act out of the acceptance of our oneness, so that all may be completely one. We can choose how we act, but we can no longer choose to say we didn't know, because we have been told we are one. Whatever happens to another happens to us, because all suffering hits home when our home is in God. When we live in the love of Jesus Christ, we are all completely one. We can no longer deny this fact. We have been told. So now what? So now what? I am not going to answer that for you, because alone I do not have the answer. But together we are going to stop just praying, and together, completely one, we are going to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance through relationship with each other and those most impacted. So following this service, we're going to meet in the parish hall for conversation and discernment. We will not solve the problem of massacres in this country today, but we will begin by committing ourselves to the way of love in this moment, because they are in us and we are in them. And now we know. Now we know. We are completely one. And we are completely loved. What we do with that love is our choice. Amen.